Harbour Hustle, where we dig under the surface of companies that serve Harbour District and the surrounding towns and villages to find out more about the people behind the company. Are you ready? Let the story begin. Hello, I'm your podcast host, Martin Robson. Harbour Hustle proudly sponsors local charities. Check us out on marketharbourbiznetwork.co.uk, where you can find a transcript of today's podcast, all the links that are mentioned, posts you can share on social media to spread the word, and everything you need to know if you'd like to help our local charities and find out more about our lovely sponsors. Today, I'm going to be speaking to Becky from Becky Whittaker Copywriting. But just before we get into that, let's hear from our lovely sponsor. Hey, it's 2024. Is your website really pulling its weight when it comes to helping you compete in today's market? Have a chat with me, Martin, from Rowan Britons to find out how you could use the latest technology and psychology to get ahead. All in plain English. Don't delay, call to the... Welcome to this episode of Harbour Hustle, where I am delighted to be chatting with Becky from Becky Whittaker Copywriting. Hiya, Becky.
Hiya, Martin. Turns out all my begging and bribery worked because I'm on your podcast today. Happy days.
I would love to say I'm not susceptible to bribery, but, you know, if it involves, well, especially if it involves marzipan and Christmas cake, I'm the weakest person in the world, I have to say. So,
brilliant. Slightly past that season, but we'll go with it.
You can never be past Christmas cake. That's my motto. Anyway, it's going to be really interesting for me today because, you know, I've had a few guests on the show and some of them I know quite well. But for you, I mean, I've met you briefly a couple of times at the Market Harbour Business Network and that's it. So I will genuinely be learning as our listeners do at the same time. I'm really looking forward to it. Just to kick off, a bit of a nutshell. Who are you? What do you do? Where do you live? And what do you like doing outside of your job? So there, hit you with that to start with.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Yes, we have met a couple of times at the networking event, which is awesome, but it's always so busy, we don't really get a chance to talk to everybody. So it is lovely to be here today and actually have a conversation, which is nice. So as you mentioned, my name is Becky and I run Becky Whittaker Copywriting. At the moment, it's just me in my business and I specialise in writing content for the legal industry. So whether that's law firms, legal tech companies, anyone that provides services to the legal industry, I help them with their content. And that is blog articles and website copy, whether it's a brand new website or it's a website someone's had for 25 years and they think they might need to make it a little bit more relevant to today's market. So that's what I do. That's how I help my clients. And I live in Wellingborough, so not too far from Market Harbour. I have a grumpy plasterer husband, shall I say. I have two daughters. My eldest is at uni, she's 19, studying sports therapy at Hartford. And my youngest is 14, so she is just about to hit the GCSE fun times. And what do I like doing? This is an interesting one because we've been having a house renovation since August last year. And it feels like I'm not doing an awful lot outside of work other than house stuff and constantly berating builders. So that's my life right now and maybe it is for the foreseeable, who knows?
Brilliant. Well remembered on what was a heck of a multiple question to start off with. I might actually need your services in so much as we're kind of considering buying a house, we're renting at the moment. And so, you know, an expert builder berater might be something that, you know, we'd need help with. So, yeah, let me know how that goes and I could be coming back to you.
I will. I'm going to add that to my list of qualities, I think.
And for any builders listening in, we do love you, really. Some more than others, perhaps.
Absolutely.
So you write copy, like you said, for blog posts, for websites. I mean, obviously, interacts with my own world, building websites, and we're both into promoting websites. So how do you kind of get started in the copywriting world?
This is an interesting one, actually, because I've only been running my own business since last year. So I am very new to this, and not new to writing necessarily. But now that I'm writing, I remember vividly being at school and how much I absolutely loved English, how much I loved making up stories, and was very much into reading and writing. And then I think my career took a little bit of a side swerve into doing completely different things, such as working for the council, running a bridal shop, working for an accountant, and then I moved to work for a website developer, which is where I started writing copy for him and also for our clients, one of which who is a lawyer. So that's when a little spark came into my head and I was like, oh my goodness, I absolutely love this. Why have I not been writing all of my time and dealing with all these ridiculous brides? So when I left there, I moved on to work for a legal tech startup, where happily I had some experience for writing for a lawyer who wanted me to continue writing for him when I left the website developer world. And I learned all about the legal tech industry, which was really fascinating, because typically the law firms, most law firms, are a little bit behind in terms of tech and accepting payments, onboarding clients, all that kind of fun stuff. In fact, there is a scary statistic of how many law firms actually still take checks as payments. Can you believe it? So that was a little bit of an eye-opener, working for a tech firm that was aiming to streamline all those processes. So when I was made redundant, I thought, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to write full-time. This is what I love. I'm going to do it. And law seemed to be a good niche to work into. I didn't particularly want to be a generalist copywriter. I think it's easier to market your services when you have a specific industry that you write for. And I'm happy to say it's going really, really well.
Fantastic. I'm so pleased it's going really well, because, you know, it's not easy going out on your own. And it's very interesting what you just said about, you know, the whole generalist versus niche, because that was one thing I particularly wanted to ask you about. I mean, again, you know, it's not just relevant to copywriting or indeed to website development, but it is the kind of conversation that comes up again and again. You know, I've been in a situation before where I found myself niching in wedding related websites, simply because I built one and the person loved it and they told their friends were in the same industry, you know, and it just kind of snowballs from there. And it is one of those industries where there's lots of different elements to it, you know, cakes, organizing bridal shops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then COVID happened. And there wasn't so much going on in the wedding industry. So I found, for me, accidentally niching, if you like, was great for a while and then disastrous for a while. But it does catch the eye. I mean, I saw your card and on it, obviously, you've got SEO and you've got legal services. I'm like, well, that's interesting, because that's the first time I've seen that combination. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you about, you know, how you really decided to niche down, but it sounds like, you know, you kind of made that decision from just before you started your business.
I did. Yes. I was pretty certain that's the direction I wanted to go in, because there's not many of us legal copywriters out there. There are some lawyers who have now decided to do a bit of writing and a bit of marketing on the side, but there's really not many, many of us. So it's a pretty good industry to be in, because there's not too much competition, which is always nice. And it is a very much needed service. There is an awful lot of diabolical legal copy out there, and I'm determined to make it better.
Fantastic.
One blog at a time.
Yeah, one blog at a time. I love it. You don't have a legal background, you know, in terms of education, from what you've said. So, and obviously in the legal industry, there is a deal of technical words, etc. How do you deal with that?
It's definitely a challenge. And it's something that in my earlier days, I say this like I've been in business for years, in my In my earlier days, I would come up as an obstacle from lawyers, especially traditional lawyers that would be like, well, you're not a lawyer, you can't possibly know what to write about, you don't know about us and how it all works. And I always answer that with, I am an exceptional researcher, and I, because of my web developer background and my SEO background that I learned from the web developer, I, regardless of what industry my client is in, and am able to go out there and research the best topics that their clients are going to want to read. Most of the time, this is completely opposite to what law firms think that they need. They think that they might need to write about things like someone's been made a partner in their firm, or they've changed the brand of coffee, all of which are completely irrelevant to their target audience. For instance, their clients are probably in a situation where there's a family lawyer. They might be going through a really emotional time. They might not know which direction is up at that time. They need to be reassured. They need to have the confidence to know that the lawyer that they reach out to is going to be able to solve their problems. So that's what I write about. And I can now demonstrate that through my rapidly increasing portfolio of pieces that I've written. I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, you know, obviously know from my background that gearing both website copy and blog copy towards your ideal client is what you're trying to do, rather than gearing your website towards yourself, which is, like you say, for the lawyers you've come across. And it's not just lawyers, it happens across industries. Just related to what you were saying though, I mean, partly we talked about technical language and you're saying, okay, you're an excellent researcher. The other thing that I come up against, for example, when we're looking at websites for legal firms is, yeah, well, we need a legal specialist because we need to make sure the legalities are right. Do you find that you know, they're talking about the legal side of things as opposed to the language per se?
Yes, I think so. And that's why my services always include a couple of rounds of revisions. So they are always checked over by an actual lawyer to make sure that it is accurate and relevant. I do have a very recent testimonial, which was absolutely lovely, from one of my lawyer clients, who said he thinks I've probably written over 100 blogs for him. And in that time, he might have only had to edit about one, very slightly. So that was praise indeed from a business lawyer. I don't have a business lawyer background, obviously. I don't have the first idea on how to draft a contract. But the research that I've done and communications with him has enabled me to write about that subject.
Fantastic. That is actually really great praise. I'm very impressed because, again, there are certain industries that like to revise whether revision is needed or not. And yes. I'd suggest possibly that's one that you're in. So to get 99 out of 100 is fantastic. Is there something that you think people don't really think enough about when they're starting to engage with a copywriter?
I think tone of voice is really, really important. So if there aren't any existing assets on a client's website that I can pick up and associate myself with, for want of a better word, that can be a little bit tricky. So I do always say to clients that they really need to nail their firm's or their business's tone of voice, how they want to come across. Because that needs to be consistent across everything, which I'm sure you're aware of, Martin, whether it's on websites or social media, across emails, that has to be a consistent approach. And if it's a new company or they're not quite sure what their brand story is, I'd say that needs to be really, really firmed down, first of all, before they can think about engaging a copywriter, because they'll literally be shooting in the dark otherwise.
And if they haven't got a consistent tone of voice, is that also something that you can help them with before you actually start to go and produce copy?
This is actually a new service that I've been thinking about this year, and happily signed up a client in the first week of January to do just that before that service was even finalized. So I'm kind of winging it as I go along with this one, but they're a startup, and yes, they definitely need some help with forming their brand and tone of voice. So I'm working with them to create those documents. Yes, and that's something I really enjoy.
Brilliant. Is there anything that you think you wish you'd known earlier on in your career? I mean, obviously, like you said, as going solo, it's not been that long, but something that looking back, you think, I wish I'd done that then.
I think I would have invested in financial advice for my business before I did. I've got an amazing accountant now, but she's only about a month into helping me. And as you know, when you're a business owner, you have to wear so many different hats, and it is incredible. All of the things you have to immediately know and get used to. And it's quite overwhelming at times. I would be the first to admit that I'm not great with budgeting, managing money, cash flow, all that kind of stuff. So now I've got somebody on board, it is making the whole process a lot easier. And I wish I'd done that sooner for sure.
Really, really good advice. Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, I started this business because I enjoy doing technical work, web-related work, etc. I didn't start it because I wanted to be a salesperson and an accountant and a lead generation and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you have to, or at least employ people who do that for you, one of the two. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's an uphill battle, but, you know, you learn every day, don't you? And I love learning new skills, so I'm quite happy to be in a position to be able to do that.
Brilliant. Music to my ears, yes. If I could work, well, if I could stop work, people go, oh, you'd be bored. I'm like, no way. There's so much to learn nowadays and so much access to knowledge that didn't exist many years ago, or always much harder to access anyway. Becky, did you have any kind of mentor that helped you along the way at any stage?
So I did invest in sales coaching about 5 months ago. So I'm in a group program online with somebody I've met via LinkedIn, who's an incredible coach and mentor. And he has really helped me be able to position my offer properly, really nail down who my target audience are, identify definitely who the people are that I don't want to work with, which is something that is a definite benefit when you are a business owner. You can choose who you can work with. And that has definitely helped me with my confidence, really, in creating offers that I know are going to resonate with my target audience. And things like the best content to create, the best platforms to use, some tips on conducting sales calls, all of that information has been really, really valuable.
Yeah, that's very important to hear, especially that bit about knowing who you don't want to work with. I think especially in the first year, maybe the first 2 years of business, it's very easy just to say yes to everybody. And sometimes that's not the best for you, let alone the people you're saying yes to, you know, if it's not quite the best fit. So, and I normally asking people about, you know, is there anyone at the moment that you admire and why is that? But is that a different person, or are we talking the same person here?
I think probably that's the same person at the moment, I'd say. I can't really think of anybody else that springs to mind. I do have a lot of time for Stephen Bartlett. I think he's amazing. I could listen to his podcast all day, and he's always got some great tips on there. And I have to watch him on Dragon's Den as well. I think he's a very clever man.
Yes, undoubtedly. And really interesting from my point of view, because a lot of his podcasts are like an hour and 45 minutes, which goes right against everything that you're taught, you know, when you kind of go through podcasting 101. But I think he proves that if you've got good content, people will listen to it. And you're right. Yeah, it's a very interesting podcast that he does. And amazing what he's achieved as well. So let's think, you're talking about liking to learn, etc. You got any particular learning targets for this year?
I'd like to go a bit deeper into technical SEO for sure. I'm fairly proficient, I would say, at the stuff that I do on websites, but I would like to go a little bit more in detail. I think it would provide quite a lot of value for my clients if I did learn more about the technical side. Whether or not they understand it or not is a different thing, but I think it would be a valuable thing to be able to offer.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now we're really sort of stepping into my world. So I'm going to go a little bit further on that, just for my own satisfaction, really. But so when you're talking about technical SEO and you're trying to explain to clients the importance of SEO, what kind of approaches are you taking?
So with SEO, I find a lot of people think it's some kind of dark magic. They don't trust it. It's not tangible. It's quite a hard service to explain, I would say. So I very much like to simplify it a lot more and explain at its core, SEO is basically your business being seen by more people and by the right people. And when I kind of explain it like that, people understand, right, okay, so it means I can land on the first page of Google, more people will see my website, I will get more business. Essentially, that's what it comes down to. But obviously, I don't promise the first page of Google, because Google is a very fickle creature, is she not?
Absolutely. And I mean, this, the other thing that you said there that's so important is the right people. There's no point, you know, getting on the first page of Google for a service that you don't offer, which sounds kind of obvious, but sometimes, you know, it's a vanity metric, isn't it? You know, it's like, oh, look at me, I'm there. But are any of those people who are looking at your site actually then converting into customers? And if they're not, then, you know, you need to kind of step back through and think, well, am I actually trying to attract the right people with the copy that I write and also various other things on the website once they get there? But and when you're talking about, so that's SEO, like you say, getting more people to see it. We've kind of made an assumption. So just in case, we're talking about search engine optimization, which just means getting, like you said, on the first page of Google. There are other search engines, but Google has 90% of the market. So let's just concentrate on those. That's what SEO is about. When you say you want to learn more about technical SEO, how would you explain technical SEO? What's that?
So I'd be interested to learn more about user intent and that kind of avenue. I find looking at Google Analytics really interesting for my clients. And like you just said just then, there's no point in being able to rank for a term that you don't offer or a service that you no longer do. And I was in that situation with a client where they were actually ranking really, really well for a service that they didn't even offer. So we had to turn that around a lot. And looking into a bit more depth on user intent, the kind of keywords that users are putting into Google to find out. And it's really important that you are definitely using those words in your content that your clients are using. For instance, I had a client that was in the telecommunication space, and they were pushing VoIP products, which is voice over internet protocol products. However, their customers weren't referring to it as VoIP, they were referring it to it internet calling. So that's a kind of example of the right content can really make such a difference when you're looking to rank online. So I definitely like to look into more of that for sure. And also things like schema markups. I don't really even know what that means, to be honest, Martin. Maybe you can help me, but it sounds like something I need to know about.
Yeah, absolutely. Schema markup is all about how do you get into, and if you've got a local business, for example, you'll know that if you do a search, you might end up on the Google Maps in the first three. And that's achieved with some of the code that you put on your website around your copy to go, hey, this stuff is relevant to Google in such and such a way. So it signals to Google again that the copy that you're writing has a particular purpose, because, I mean, as you know, different copy has different purposes. You know, it's not every single word is trying to get ranking on Google. Those days are long gone, and Google is much too clever to fall for that trick. It used to be, you know, they called it keyword stuffing and things like that, where people would just write loads and loads of words on the website in white, so you couldn't see them, but they were there. And then they go, look, we can rank. Yes, that's one message I would love to give to everybody is try not to scam Google, because you'll lose. And then once you lose, there's no way back. You know, if they decide not to rank you and they don't like you, you're stuffed.
Precisely. Yes. Those Google crawlers, which sound a little bit creepy, don't they, are incredibly clever. And you really want to make sure that your content, you're not going down any black hat SEO techniques for your listeners there. So black hat is things like keyword stuffing, and is definitely frowned upon nowadays. Google is all about relevant and valuable content, which I think was in the latest update, actually, which happily is an approach I've always subscribed to anyway. I don't bother writing anything unless I think it's going to be valuable and relevant to the target audience. So that's a great approach to go with.
Excellent. Talking about clever stuff, something I am extremely interested in is the use of artificial intelligence, AI, etc., in lots of different ways. But obviously, one way that it's become much more accessible to the general public is through ChatGPT, where it will write stuff for you. And I know there are some copywriters who are either A, very dismissive of it, or B, very, very scared about it. Where do you stand on the whole issue of AI and its approach?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. When it first came out, I was in the camp of, oh, AI is going to take over all of our jobs. That's it. We have no business anymore. But that didn't last very long because ChatGPT, although it is a very good tool, is not the answer to copywriting. In fact, Google frowns upon AI-generated content in some concepts. So you do have to be really careful because otherwise, if you're copying and pasting everything that ChatGPT spouts out, you're probably going to have the same copy as thousands and thousands of other websites, which will cause duplicate content problems. And when Google doesn't know which website to rank, it probably won't rank any of them. So you're actually doing yourself a disservice by doing that. Having said that, it is really useful sometimes for giving me context around complicated concepts. So I do use it sometimes if I need to say, for instance, I'm looking at this area of law, I really don't understand what this is all about. Could you just clarify it for me in a really simple way? And then that helps me get my head around it. And then at least I've got a bit of a starting point if it's something really complicated.
I think that's brilliant. One of my favorite quotes is that AI won't take anybody's job. Somebody who knows how to use it will take your job. So you know, be aware of it because it's not going away. So yeah, using it smartly seems to be the ideal answer there. Have you often ask people about their biggest mistake in business? So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the business you're doing now, because I know, like you said, you've not been doing that for so long. But so business wise. Is there a big mistake you can think about, and what did you learn from it?
It was a fairly recent mistake, actually, but I did learn from it, and I do make a point of always trying to learn from my mistakes. So I took on a client, and she's lovely. We got on really, really well, and normally I would provide the website copy in a Google Doc or similar so that the client can go in and edit it as they so wish. However, she didn't have access to the back end of her website. She was really unfamiliar with the process. She didn't have the first clue on how to log in and edit any content. So she asked me very nicely, would I, once I'd finished writing the copy, upload it to her website for her? And that was a huge mistake because it was on a Squarespace platform. I'd never used it before. I'm pretty okay with most systems, but it was a real learning curve. And I found I spent so much more time actually formatting where the copy needed to go rather than actually writing the copy. And it was a long, drawn out affair. One that she was very happy with in the end, but one which I will not repeat. And I now say, I'm not going anywhere near your website. You can have the copy, but I'm not putting it on there.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. Let's flip it 180 then. What about your proudest business moment?
Proudest business moment. Again, that's a fairly recent thing. I am doing LinkedIn Lives once a week, which I absolutely love. And then I turn them into podcasts. So all I do is stream them via the StreamYard platform and then download the file and add it to Spotify for podcasts. There isn't any editing involved. You'd probably be horrified, Martin. But it's a very simple way of getting a podcast out there. So I have a really interesting guest on every week in the legal space. Business law disruptors, I would call them. There's some very interesting conversations I've been having. So that's a fairly recent development. And I did have somebody last week who messaged me completely out of the blue on LinkedIn. I didn't know this person. He said to me, I've found your podcast. I absolutely love it. I've listened to it this morning on my run. I felt like I've learned loads. Really, really valuable. I'd love to have a call with you. And can you help me with my content? And I was like, I feel famous now. I actually feel famous. People are listening to my podcast on their runs. And it was, yeah, it was a pretty cool moment.
Brilliant. Yeah, I can actually emphasize that a lot because I remember the first episode of this podcast, where somebody contacted me who I didn't know because of the content of the podcast. And that's nice. There are people out there listening to it. It's good. And obviously, we'll be having all the links on the website to how to get in contact with you, etc. So, by all means, let me know where we can find that podcast so people can go and listen to that as well if they'd like to. You mentioned Stephen Bartlett. One of the things that he does on his podcast is he asks guests to think of a question for a subsequent guest. And I'm going to do that off air with you. But one of the questions that came up from a previous guest is there any particular book that has helped you with your business?
I love this concept because I really do love this idea of leaving a question for the next guest. This is very cool. Okay. Oh, I'm such an avid reader. That's going to be really, really difficult to say. However, listening to an audiobook at the moment, which is called Oversubscribed, and it's by Daniel Priestley. I listened to a bit this morning. That's how I know is the author. And the concept is that you position your offer in business in a certain way that you basically own your own market. So it doesn't matter what the rest of the people are doing in your industry. You have your own market, and therefore you can charge what you like, essentially, and become oversubscribed. And it's a very interesting listen / read, and definitely one I'd recommend. It's made a big difference to my mindset.
Interesting. Yeah, he's well known for quite a few books, but I'd definitely add that to the list to check out. Thank you. So, do you have a hidden talent that you could share with us?
Do I have a hidden talent? That is interesting. I can't think of a hidden talent off the top of my head, other than being able to spot a typo from 20 yards. It's something that irritates the hell out of my husband when he's trying to show me something and I can't concentrate because I'm like, they spelt that wrong, the grammar's awful, I can't read it. But I will tell you a little story which is sort of relevant, which was when my daughter, who's now 19, when she was a baby, there was a competition that Heinz ran for their baby food, and they wanted to create a new brand called Mum's Own. Probably wouldn't be allowed to say that nowadays, would they? But anyhow. And the idea was that you wrote in with your recipe and the winner would have their name on the jar of baby food with their picture. And I'm happy to say that I did actually win this competition, and my chicken casserole recipe was featured in all of the stores in the supermarkets. So that was a pretty exciting moment with me and my daughter's face on there on the baby food jar.
That's brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. And you mentioned Dragon's Den again, in connection with Stephen Bartlett. But I remember on Dragon's Den, Levi Roots coming in, you know, with his reggae sauce, and then subsequently, you know, they filmed him when his sauce was on the actual shelves in the supermarkets, with a kind of image of him. And the same thing is like, it's me, I'm on the shelves, you know. And there you go, you were ahead of him. You're ahead of the game.
I was. I mean, I'm very sad to say that I did not get paid very much for this opportunity. It was a long time ago, so I can't really remember, but I think it was probably something like 250 quid, which is not a lot when you think about your faces on the jars of all those baby foods. I think my mum might still have one in her cupboard, which is quite gross when you think about it. I wonder what state that's in now.
I bet she does. My mum would like you as well, because my mum is has a proofreading qualification, and she's the same, you know. It's like, if there's any slight typo, then that's it, you know, it's got to be corrected before we can move forward. So when I tell her about this podcasting, I'm sure she'll listen out for that reason alone.
Brilliant.
So it's been great, Becky. Where can we find you on the socials, website, and so on?
So my website is live. It is going to be redeveloped fairly soon, but at the moment it's just beckywhitaker.co.uk. I am mainly on LinkedIn. That's where most of my clients tend to hang out, so you can find me there, and I'll give you all the information that you can pop on the episode to find me, and also my podcast. I've even got a YouTube channel, can you believe it?
Brilliant. Well, there you go, you're ahead of the game. We will have one soonish, at some point. That's one of the targets for this year. So again, it's another thing that I can get some help from you with, hopefully. All right. So before we go, one thing I always ask people is there anything I've forgotten to ask you?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. I think we're good.
Brilliant. Okay. In which case, I'm just going to have a quick chat to our listener. So, hey, listener, show some love for Becky, checking out all the show notes and the links to her website and her socials. Okay, they'll be mentioned on the Market Harborough Business Network website. And even better, join in, leave a comment, leave a question, leave a suggestion. We appreciate learning how we can make the show the best it possibly can be for you. And hey, if you'd like to be a guest, then again, pop along to the website and you can find out what you need to do to be sitting where Becky is sitting right now. Also, we have some sponsorship deals. So if you want to get some more promotion for your company, then come and let me know. This episode of Harborough Hustle has been sponsored by Roman Britain's websites. Becky, thank you very much again, and hope to meet up with you soon.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You've been enjoying the Harborough Hustle, inspiring talks with local entrepreneurs. Please take a few seconds for whichever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever, to give us a thumbs up, a five-star review, or a like, and please subscribe so that we know you're out there and so that you get to know about future shows. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please pop over to marketharboroughbiznetwork.co.uk/podcast for all the details, where you'll also find a summary of today's show, a transcript, some goodies, and all the links mentioned today. There's a